This episode of the Bayou Dragons podcast is proudly brought to you by Dragon Industrial Wrap.
Fuse. Ready for any project, no matter how big or how small. Dragon Industrial Wrap.
That was my opening gig there.
Oh, well. I was coming in hot.
Well.
Grease pickle and all.
Hey, man. I wish he would have started 10 seconds sooner, but we're going to get into, you know.
We'll get there, buddy.
We'll get there. Mm-hmm. And welcome back to episode 55 of the Bayou Dragons podcast. Today, me, Mr. Captain Ryan Warhola, Mitch McCall, are welcomed by a special guest, a dear friend, also a captain. So we have Captain My Captain today.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Captain Colby Dembo.
Oh, I appreciate you boys. You know that?
Yeah, I know you do.
No doubt.
I know you do, man. We got plenty of stories to tell. We can talk about you run a guiding service. There's plenty of stuff we definitely have to cover today. But, yeah, how are you doing?
Oh, today's been a great day, you know. Picked up a red lechway, jackal, and a caracal from the taxidermist. So.
From your Africa adventure?
One of them, yeah, yeah.
Did you just get back from Africa?
No. You know, it's been a minute, but I've been slowly getting that last trip done.
How many times have you been to Africa?
Three
times?
Yeah.
Ryan's trying to get there.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
I'm already booked to be there.
Every year the son of a bitch asked me to go.
Yeah.
Ryan does?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, when did you start going to Africa? Because Ryan just started last year.
When I was 21.
Oh, so.
I went by myself at 21, and it was a good time.
Hell yeah.
How hard is it to get your shit back from, like, your hides and shit for mounting purposes? I've heard it's kind of a pain in the ass.
You know, it seems like every time I've gone, something's different, changed. Like, this last time, I had a couple warthogs, and the warthogs were, like, really difficult to get back. I had to pay, like, 2 or 3 extra permits or something this last time, it seemed like.
Yeah, they're always changing. It's not on the Africa side of things. It's on the state side of things.
Yeah.
The U.S. decides they feel sorry for some kind of animal at this point, so they're going to make it harder to get back.
Dude, it's always the United States.
Yeah.
Look, I love living here, but, hey, chill out with some of the shit.
These crybaby liberal pussies, you know.
I'm going to tell you right now.
That's what it is.
That is exactly.
I'll tell you this. In 10 years of getting my guide's license, this is the first year I've ever had an issue, and I've gone up to Texas Parks in my life 3 times.
Yeah.
Try and get everything done.
Yeah, they want, like, your birth certificate now and a drop of blood for DNA.
I don't understand why Texas Parks and Wildlife wants to try and make everything more difficult than what it is.
And for our viewers that, you know, a lot of the people that listen to us don't even hunt or fish. They just, you know, they follow us for different types of reasons. But
just, like, a bunch of mud hens.
Hey, I'm going to take that as a compliment fans, dude.
Ain't no doubt.
Bunch
baby.
Of mud hens, dog. But, like, how hard has it been in the past to get your, you know, what do you have to do to get your guide license? You know, I don't think we've ever talked about that.
Right.
On here.
Well, normally, you know, in the past, it's just been you show up with your 6-pack, you know, your Merchant Mariner passport deal, and that's it. I mean, as long as you show up with that and a check, buddy, you're good.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, you're buying just a fishing license.
Yeah, you're just literally getting a fishing license. It's the last time I got one, the lady was like, you know, just a tax write-off joke. And I was like, why do you care?
Yeah, how about you? Take a seat there, lady. Keep it down.
Yeah.
Hey, get out of here, nerd.
Yeah.
I'm tired of your worthless chime-ins. But so how long have you been a captain, my captain?
10 years.
10 years?
10 years.
So.
And it's wild to think that much time's gone by, because every year I'm like, it's probably like 5 years. I feel like I've been saying 5 years for 5 years.
I will hit 20 years in September.
At my cousin's that's an old son of a bitch. Yeah.
Ain't no doubt some bitch is older than dirt, baby. Yeah.
What do you guide primarily on your service?
Well, you know, I own Sabine Lake Lodge, and the main thing that we is the trout, redfish, and flounder. And that's pretty much all we go for.
The staple of Southeast Texas right there.
Yeah. No doubt.
That's a triple threat.
I've seen a lot of black drum in the pictures here lately.
Well, you know, with these limit changes, buddy, that's the only way I can get a pile in together, you know. Yeah.
So what did you say the name of your guide service is?
It's Sabine Lake Lodge.
Sabine Lake Lodge.
It's really, you know, y'all say guide service, and I think that's small time. I feel like I own a lodge, so you know it's a little yeah. better. Little
so
better gig.
Talk about like the difference between what you do versus what some of these other guys do as far as being, you know, running trips.
Yeah.
So
and plug yourself, dog.
Right, here we go. Here we go. So just a normal guy, you know, he's going to run just a charter, and he's going to charter for most likely somebody else as well, run trips for a larger outfit, and I would be that larger outfit because I have the lodge, you know, overnight stay, meals, you know, big lodge on the water, you know, and which is a good thing, you know, brings a lot of guides together for a larger deal rather than just a single outfit charter service.
Yeah, so, I mean, what's a typical, like, booked up weekend for you? How many guides are running? How many customers do you have in the lodge?
A good, I prefer 9 to 12. 9 to 12 guys, you know, 3 guys per boat. Some guys like 2 per boat. So if we're running 4 or 5 boats, that's a good weekend for me.
Yeah.
Per day.
Yeah.
So you're running the lodge, or you getting out there on the water and guiding yourself?
I definitely, I mean, that's extra money in my pocket that I don't have to pay out. So that's why I do still run charters.
Yeah.
I see. And I'm young. I can rip.
And you enjoy it, I'm sure.
And I like to set the bar. I like to compete. And
you definitely, and we've talked about that. There's different people in there's different guides around the area. You know, everybody talks, but I've never met someone that said that you aren't a trout fishing some bitch.
No, I appreciate
that. I will say that.
No doubt.
Like, you on the saltwater game, you're pretty spot on.
I say if I'm going to be out there 5 days a week, I surely hope that I got something in my back pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, dude, you and does the Sabine Lake Lodge, does it have a Instagram, Facebook?
Facebook, the Facebook page is pretty large. I think it's got probably 11,000 followers on it. Hell and yeah. then, the you know, the website, SabineLakeLodge.org.
I like that. .org. You had to go a little different there. I like that.
I did, yeah. I went org, and it's a new website. It's got some videos and a lot of pictures.
Hell yeah.
Packages everything for you.
No, that'd be for anyone that's listening in the Southeast Texas region. Don't have to be from Southeast Texas, but right. if you want to go on a lodging fishing trip. What I wanted to ask, though, do you do the rod and gun situation during duck season?
Yeah, till season's huge. You know, every weekend it's a cast and blast gig.
Opening weekend name too, cast and blast.
And I'd say, hey, I bet till season, opening weekend of till season is probably top 2 weeks of my whole season.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great deal too, because you get to go duck hunt in the morning and then y'all go fishing after the hunt.
We'll duck hunt in the morning, then we'll eat lunch. Everybody eat lunch together, and then all the boats pick you up on the dock, so you don't have to go anywhere. You just walk out of the lodge and walk on the pier, and all the guys go their different direction, or we all go the same direction and fish till dark, come back, eat dinner.
Hell yeah. That's a solid day if you're an outdoorsman.
And it's I have a lot of bachelor parties during that time, and a lot of those guys, I try to tell them, like, hey, man, that's a full day, buddy. Like, you're not, because they're like, oh, no, we'll go to the casino, we'll go do our thing. And I'm like, no, you're not.
Yeah, you're going to be ready to croak.
Yeah, I'm like, I promise you, buddy, after that dinner, after that full day, you're not. It's over. It's over for you.
Yeah, you've been up since 4:30.
Shit, 3:30.
3:30?
Yeah.
To 3:30, go. I don't know exactly where we are hunting the ducks, honestly.
Right, from Sabine Pass all the way to south, towards the beach, you know?
Yeah.
South Winnie.
But you hunt, get back, fish. I mean, if you've never done the duo, it's hard. It's tough.
It's a tough day.
I've never done that. I've never duck hunted and then, you know, ate lunch and went and fished. Because when we go duck hunting, most of the time it's public. So we're out there all night. We're done after the hunt. We're croaking it, you know, as soon as we get home.
I guess y'all got to go sit in line and all that, correct?
Sometimes. It depends.
Or is it the call-in? I guess if you do the public, you can call in. And
no.
Like, I've never done it, so
I enjoy it. I enjoy it. But I don't do the line shit. I'll go out, you know, I'll leave about to go out to the Anahuac or McFadden Marsh and camp out with the boys, you know, have fun with it. But, you know, Porter will come with us now probably once out of every 3. He's getting to where he's starting to slow down on the old public ground.
Yeah.
Well, he's old now. Look at him.
Yeah.
Decrepit. Well,
I will say this, with the Bayou Dragon name and, like, Mitchell and Matt and everybody, like, being really good at, like, videoing and photography.
Right.
We've been blessed, honestly, to be able to get invited to do a lot of, like, cool public hunts and shit like that. And all we have to do is
a lot of good private stuff.
Yeah. That's I hunted public one time this year. Yeah. And right. then I private hunted 20 times this year. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I don't have land. I don't have none of that shit. But people are like Ryan and just whoever. Justin Jenkins, like right. people like that. They're like, yeah, we get the photos and videos too. Like I give you what, like we give you whatever we get. And then, you know, you can do whatever you want with it.
Cool.
That's kind of like our,
well, that's having good friends too.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. Ryan, yeah. Ryan really came through this year and
he did.
Appreciate that, dude. I mean, bringing us out to the Pipkin, that was awesome. You know,
oh, man.
I got to go.
I've seen y'all get to go quite a bit.
Don't even, we're going to have to talk great, about.
I think y'all got hunts. To take a bunch of my trips, to be honest, yeah. you know.
It's possible. Hey, it's man. Highly possible. Hey, but man.
I talk to Ryan every day.
We're,
I don't know if he's
fair enough.
We're going to have to get into this Pipkin situation.
I think
here
we
talk
multiple times every day.
We'll get into the Pipkin situation. But no, dude, I do see you grinding. Mostly, and I don't know who all you have on your guide service. You have multiple people that are working.
I brought two dudes out of retirement for this year, which is pretty fun.
Hell yeah. But
one will be out tomorrow morning, and
you're one
of a guide in a couple years.
You're one of two people that I know personally that does like a cast and blast, as you say, but
yeah.
you do it the duck and trout, redfish, whatever, right. you know, and then Rance does not really a cast, but
he does the gator.
The gator and teal.
I did some with Ranch. We did a gator deal with Ranch. I love Ranch. We have the best time ever together.
Oh, so. Yeah. Y'all are doing some shit together for quite a few years.
Yeah.
And but, like, y'all are the only two that I know that are doing both of those.
Right.
Like, you know, he'll take y'all both teal hunt, and then you either go shoot a gator or you go catch a bunch of trout with right. you, you know. And I'm sure you probably get some
both
gator tags.
Both great days.
And you get some gator tags and shit too. And you probably do something like that. So
I do like that Rance does, like, he wants the trophy gator deal. And that's kind of where we're on the same page there. What I see that he does. And I dig that. I don't care for the whole numbers gig on the gators. You know, you go out and check your 6, 8, 10, 12 lines.
Yeah.
And you rip out a bunch of 5-footers or some bullshit.
No, that was, dude. So we brought him out. We brought him. He came to Houston, San Antonio, and Dallas with me, and we sold a bunch of gator hunts over at the Texas Trophy Hunters.
Yeah,
like we were doing Bayou Dragon stuff, and then we had Rance selling gator hunts, which helped both. You know, there's people that knew who we were, and then they're interested in gator hunts, and there's people that are wanting gator hunts, and they're like, Bayou Dragon, what's this? You know, and but a bunch of them came and bought a bunch of hunts, and like, man, this is cool as shit.
But y'all enjoyed the Detective Trophy Hunter show?
Yes.
That was a good turnout?
Yes, great turnout. But what we're...
it's good to see some of the ones that don't and then know the ones that do.
Yeah, we'll do it forever because even if it's not a great... Like, Houston's the worst turnout,
right?
Surprisingly.
Yeah, well, that's the one I did for so many years, and I, you know...
I think the one we did, what was it? Now, I don't know if it was our best one. It was the San Antonio Rojola. You might want to join us this upcoming year on that one. That was... We did good, but that was a blast.
Yeah, we got straight up ignorant, dude. We got ignorant.
Well, we
dog.
Went to the Riverwalk every day or one night after the after the day. Man, we had a great time. The scooters. Tanner broke his wrist on one of them scooters.
Yeah, Tanner broke his wrist.
Old Tanner boy, he gets down with it. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, Tanner broke his wrist. Rance ended up being on the pianos at Coyote Ugly playing for hours at the bar. Like they're just like we just took over the Riverwalk. Like. People were like, oh, you're that people. And then we met that dude with what's that dude's name?
He was a Dove, the Dove dude?
The Dove dude.
He had some, I don't remember his product. He was selling a product out there related to dove hunting, and we hung out with him. It was a great time.
But his shirt.
Like a power line deal or?
No, no.
like a dove cleaning deal.
No, like a.
It was a rack.
A gun rack down. That would hold your doves.
Oh, that's.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. The exactly one that it goes about. in the ground. It's got the. Hell, I think I've got 6-7 of those. Things.
Yeah, so we were hanging out with him, and we're at Coyote Ugly one night, and he was, hey, that son of a bitch liked to party, and we're sitting there, and
amen.
He got slapped in the face, tequila shot, and then this girl just walks by like one of the people there.
Oh, Hurricane!
Ripped his shirt off, and they're like, here, take this one. It was a Hannah Montana shirt.
Epic.
All night, he was wearing a medium size. This is like a 6'4" dude. He's wearing a medium. Hannah Montana shirt. So the
just
next night
on them.
Oh yeah, the next night we're going out. They're like, "Where's your Hannah Montana buddy at?" It's like, I think he's dead.
He is no longer with us, buddy.
Jeez. Yeah, he went hard.
Mm-hmm. No, that was fun. We ate good, had a good time. And the show, I think we did three. I only made two of them, but we try to do the Texas Trophy Hunters and then Gator Fest and Rice Fest. That's
our big five for the year.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll take up plenty of time just in itself right there.
And it's five fun, shows, too. That's a lot. I like meeting the people, you know, coming, oh, what do y'all do? You know, I like to, you know, meet new people and just kind of explain, you know, what we got going on. It's fun.
Was the, you know, most shows are, they're not just one day.
Yeah. No.
You know, they're, some of them 4, 5, 6 days.
Yeah, I did the boat show with Ryan one year.
Yeah, it was 4 days, 4 yeah. days, 5 days.
Well, we all did that.
Days.
We all did that together.
Well, actually, yeah. You, the first night it was just me and you.
That's right.
Dude, bro. Yeah, I was just like, Ryan's like, hey, man, I got to go home. I was like, okay, well, who's going to be here at this house with me, this giant-ass house? Like, Colby would be here. I'm like, oh, no. That's when we figured out that Smirnoff mango vodka and then High Noon mango, High Noons, mix them together.
Yeah. Epic. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What a time.
Epic time. Dude, yeah. We got freaking straight up.
I mean living, buddy.
I might need to make a trip to the old Sabine Lodge here for a long
time. You might as well, dude. You might as well.
Come check out the situation.
Right now, it's booked, I think, almost every day in June, so maybe July.
Maybe July.
Maybe July.
Yeah. It's fun. It's a really cool spot. The fun thing, I think, is the pier at night when it's right.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
And it's almost here. It's usually right in May.
Turn the lights on. And
yeah. With all this, the fishing is literally incredible right now. But the pier fishing just hadn't turned on quite yet. But June, July, August, September, and some October.
Would you hand me that bottle of bourbon? I'm not trying to interrupt.
No, you're good here. Pass her on down.
Come on with it. I'm almost due. We have the ice?
We do not have the ice. You might have to drink or neat.
Fair enough, buddy.
Looks like I'm just going raw, dog.
So,
yeah, just as a matter of fact, don't even pour it in the glass. Let's just go at it.
But
if we want to, I mean.
So what?
There we go.
So if I was to
burn and turn sugar.
If I wasn't who I am and would just book a trip as some rando at your lodge, what would my day look like? You know, me and three buddies book, or me and two buddies book a trip.
You know, I do the overnight lodging and the day charter as well, because a lot of people just can't pay the lodging fee, but they just, they want to go fishing. So if you're going to do the charter with the lodging, you'll come in the evening before. Some people like to come in right after lunch and will fish the afternoon, eat dinner, go to bed, or, you know, fish the lights, go to bed, whatever they choose to do. Wake up usually about 6, which that's a nice part. That is the very nice part of not having to deal with traffic, not driving. You wake up, eat breakfast, and walk right out the back porch.
Yeah.
Walk right down to the pier, get in your boat, pick your boat out, whatever they want to do. You know, some guys like to make their own little tournament.
Yeah. No, you have I've never been physically on your property, but me and Ryan have been fishing out, you know, fishing Sabine multiple times, and, you know, he's like, there's Colby's place. I'm like, beautiful. You have a great spot. Beautiful.
It is.
You have a great spot, dude.
It looks good from the water, doesn't it?
It does look good from water. I'm like, man, I could see myself hanging out there.
You're welcome anytime, bud.
Yeah, dude, I would love to do like a promo video with you one day.
Man, I was going to say, if y'all wanted to come do one of these gigs, we could do it right there.
At the lodge.
Yeah, at the lodge, and eat dinner, whatever y'all want to do.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun. Do
something like, different.
Record some fishing, go straight into a podcast or whatever.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, because what we've talked about is, and maybe you'll be there, maybe not, I don't know.
If you're a
part of it, but we've been talking about it, doing it on the Viking.
Yeah, I would imagine I'd be there.
Talk about getting ignorant on a 100 miles offshore.
Live streaming it too.
Live stream. Oh,
yeah.
Just,
yeah.
We need to do that. That needs to be on the list.
And I think we do it while we're fishing. So, like, it's like, fish on.
It's
and
hot.
We pick up.
It's hot, baby. It's
we
hot.
Pick up the camera while we're.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
And you see how electric I get when it goes off.
Oh, bro. Yeah. Yeah.
Every video that I have with a marlin jumping, Colby is screaming at the top of his lungs. In the background.
It's game time, son.
Yeah. Our two best marlin videos were you reeling because you went straight up insane, and then the Robert video where he's, that's why we fucking do it, boys. This is why we're here. Yeah, yeah, baby. Woo!
Like, people don't understand how electric and fired up it is just during that time of hooking up with a marlin.
Yeah.
Like,
it's incredible.
Yeah, you fish for so many hours in that 30 minutes to an hour and a half, you know, of when you are hooked up, that makes everything.
Yeah.
I think it changed your damn life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Mitchell's life was changed the first time he...
It's almost spiritual.
Oh, no doubt. It was an incredible experience. And just to see... We caught two on that trip I went with y'all. It was freaking awesome, man.
It's...
There's nothing like it.
No.
There's not. And did you start offshore fishing early on?
You know, and a lot of people don't believe this, but I grew up with a sport fisher and big center consoles before ever a bay boat. That was all my stepdad really loved to do was blue water, and that's all we did.
A lot of snapper.
Had a sport fisher in the marina and then kept a big center console in the shop at the house, you know, or at the, you know, the lodge, and that's what we did. And then they, you know, all those guys, all his friends got too old. And
yeah.
Yeah.
You kind of went from the offshore to the inshore.
And when I was 12 years old, he got me a Key West, a 19-foot Key West when I was 12. It may have been a little younger, actually. And I used to follow a guy around named Skip James.
Oh, Skip.
And he loved me. Like, I mean, I was just tall. And
you're just barely taller than that.
I know. I'm damn near there. So, but just a little fatter now, but we're all right. But this dude would love when I followed him around. Like, he'd see me coming, and he was super welcoming.
Yeah.
And hell, when I was that young, I didn't know any better.
Yeah, you're ignoranus.
Yeah, as ignorant as it got.
Yeah.
You know, and that's sad from what I am now, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, you're just a little less.
Yeah, just fair enough.
Just
fair.
Dude, with that, I can't stop thinking about our Texas Trophy Hunters trip. I know we talked about it, but goddamn,
San Antonio is a wonderful place, dude.
That is a really cool town.
Now it does.
No, I was talking about the Houston one where me and you, Colby.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no, the boat show.
Yeah, that was the boat show, buddy, that we did together. Yeah.
My bad, the boat show.
Yeah,
I just,
that was...
We did not look good the next day. Like, I'm running the bike.
Hot tub was something.
Yeah, me and you were supposed to be like the first two people there since we stayed in Houston. And yeah. We look like straight, damn it. Like, I'm opening the doors at the Bayou Dragon tent, and I'm like...
Just shivering.
And I look over, and Colby's the same way. And he's like, man,
what am I even doing here? You know?
Yeah, he's like, that's
funny.
He's build, like, building character is what you're doing.
I did.
Built a shit out of character.
I'm really good. I'll build your character while building mine as well. Just remember that. So, as long as you can handle it.
Hell yeah. But so you have that guiding service, and is that all, like, so. You cover the fishing, hunting. I'm just trying to make sure we plug the Sabine Ranch.
Sabine Lake Lodge.
Yeah, the lodge is pretty much the whole guiding gig. You know, I do actually quite a bit of dove hunting.
Yeah.
And or, you know, I have a bunch of fields that I do. People don't really know that because I don't push it. I don't have to. And I love dove hunting for myself.
Like, yeah.
I literally have so much fun dove hunting.
Yeah.
So, and I have, like, you know, 4 or 5 groups of, you know, 20 or something that regularly come.
Yeah.
It's hard to beat a good dove hunter.
Oh, it really is, man. It's so enjoyable just sitting, hell, getting loud.
Getting loud, drinking beer, sitting on your tailgate, music playing.
And that's what, you know, one of my favorite memories of dove hunting growing up, me and my dad used to dove hunt. That was awesome. But me and one of my good buddies, South Texas, middle of a sunflower field, mm-hmm. sitting on a cooler under a tree, I mean, one after another. Couldn't keep our guns loaded fast enough, you know. Drinking beer, having fun.
You stopped at a limit, though.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Stopped, yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, you always stop at the limit.
Yes, that is one thing that the Bayou Dragons always, you know, stress.
Limits, son.
We have limits. We abide by the limits. Speaking of limits.
And boundaries.
Definitely boundaries. Hey, mind your boundaries.
That's right.
Limits. I was going to bring this up to... Because y'all saltwater fish a lot more than me. The trout limit.
It's awful. It makes no sense.
Yeah, it does.
Had no backbone, no base to it to change limits. It's just people wanting to stick their nose into something that they shouldn't.
Need to be there.
Honestly, I could see if they would have went, and you can disagree or agree, but I would say that I could see a let's change the length limit from like 15 to like call it 12 to 18 inches as a slot at five fish.
And that would be a good move.
Yeah. You're not wrong. And just leave it there. Five fish, 12 to 18 inches.
And the limit at five was plenty good. It was fine. Everybody was fine with that.
Well, that's across the board. That's your fresh, basically your fresh water in Texas, your salt water. Everything was five.
And nothing has proven that they're changing it to three.
Is going to help.
Is going to help or had no reason for it.
Yeah.
We're not down on numbers. We're not. Size is still everything. As a matter of fact, this year is so incredible so far. And if they are going to try and take credit for that, for changing the limit.
Yeah, they haven't been.
Everyone of them should be fired.
They can suck your shaft.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Hasn't been enacted long enough.
Come get fingered.
On the record, come get fingered.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's like they're trying to. Texas is huge. Our coastal system is huge. You cannot manage Sabine Lake like you manage Baffin Bay. You just can't do it.
No. And they did a statewide change this year.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we are in Sabine Lake, or we do have a imaginary line that is half Louisiana, half Texas, and the limits being what they are in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And now all they did for us down where we are is just push everybody over the bridge.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't know really anyone that
is. That's going to take money out of Texas' pocket. You know, people 100%. Buying Louisiana license, they just push, think about that.
They push this whole region into Louisiana.
Oh, it's not just trout. It's snapper, and we'll get into that here in a few. But yeah, they're doing the same thing with snapper too.
It's, and I don't know. It's definitely not people, and this is what my thought process is, because they do it for freshwater, saltwater all the time. They make these rules and regulations. I'm like, they're not the people out there fishing.
Right.
They're the ones they get told
CCA too. All the people that you see on the board and whatnot, it's like, I don't see any of those guys out there doing a damn thing.
No.
I don't see them fishing. They're not. No. Just want to feel important, I guess, in which I guess being in the outdoor world, that's great. But stay out of the regulations, damn it, okay?
Yeah.
Well, that's CCA Bank what's going on right now. I'm not there. I refuse and to I go got, anymore.
Yeah. I mean, and that's honestly how I feel.
Yeah.
Exactly how I feel.
I used to spend lots of money with CCA. I'm done.
Our family's companies and shit would have a table every year. And
yeah.
None of us would even go. I got offers tonight.
Yeah.
I was like, nah. Well,
shit, Dragon has a table. I'm not there. I mean, I'm going to let Mickey do his thing. He wants to have a table. That's fine. But
I love Mickey, and he's supporting his friends and him and at the board. But
I just don't see I haven't seen any benefit come out of it. I mean, they've done
there's
a few.
There's never
done
been
some,
a benefit.
They've done some great environmental things, but they do not back up their membership when it comes to the regulation side of things.
And I don't know if you saw the one ticket, $175.
Wow.
Yeah, $175 for a solo man.
Used to be $50.
Right.
Let's take a quick break. We'll be resume here.
Yeah.
A
second.
Good burner pop.
We're good.
So CCA is gay. All right. We're back.
We're back. I had to take a little pee break. I say pee break. I just had a pee, and I don't
refill.
Oh yeah.
These absolute greasers right here.
Oh, yeah, dude. Greaser.
I mean to tell you.
Dude. Thank you, Mitch, for picking up the awful.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers. Cheers.
Oh, yeah. Cheers. Cool beers. Yeah, cool beers. Gays.
There we go.
Both of y'all go to A&M?
Mitchell didn't go to college.
Lesbians, boys.
I'm providing the bourbon there, man.
Yes, sir. Why wouldn't you drink it? What's wrong with you?
I like to go about six beers, and then I go to
I decided I'm going to go in the next round for the bourbon.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I got a routine, man.
No.
Yeah, this year. Know your worth, you know?
Yeah. No, we were talking about Texas Parks and Wildlife, getting it all wrong in our minds. Right. You know, I'm obviously not a biologist by any means. But
truth is the truth, you know.
But, I mean, they're just making everybody in our area cross the bridge, go to Louisiana. Even on snapper. You know, right now, snapper season is open in Louisiana for federal waters, and it's four fish.
Yeah.
Why in the fuck is it four fish?
Versus Texas, and which is what?
Two.
I was going to say, it goes further than that. They're putting real estate. They're pushing people over there. I know people buying
over
there now.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Why
sold
not?
And buying.
Yeah. Go over there.
Dude, all these things, and just out of my personal experience, out of everything that I've caught, personally done, I've done all this stuff, the snapper limit is always the thing, to me, that is the most ignorant.
Dude, dude.
I saw a video yesterday of a guy catching all the snapper he wanted on a damn frog.
I saw it today. I was about to say, was it on a white frog, a bass frog? Yeah.
Dude.
No, dude.
Young kid.
That is the most ignorant out of everything. Like, there's so many.
That snapper thing is a catch share thing with NOAA and National Marine Fisheries, and lobbyists got their money in dirty hands in politicians' pockets. And it's not just Democratic politicians, it's Republicans, conservatives who are taking this money. And they are fucking the little man and the recreational angler.
No doubt.
Yeah, because I have been snapper fishing with you countless times, Ryan, and it's literally, what can we throw out?
Dude,
try to beat all the snapper to get to the good snapper.
No doubt.
It's ridiculous. I mean, we're out in the blue water, you know, where you're supposed to catch two.
And honestly, it's almost better just to jump out of the boat and shoot your two big ones.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But you're supposed to catch two, and you can't get past the 5 million.
It's absolutely insane when you catch a red snapper pulling a marlin plug at 8 knots.
Oh, my God. I do remember that.
Yeah.
A big one.
A nice one.
Yeah.
And that's...
I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's what the fuck?
Yeah. Look, and to me, and I'm not, like you said, none of us are biologists, but that's like the most hounded on limit. It's like the snapper, you know, you're in Texas, and do they not worry about overgrowth of a certain species? Like, I'm saying, like,
at some point, you would think they'd have to admit that they're just damn wrong.
Here's the deal.
But will they? No.
Here's the deal.
No.
There is a value placed on snapper. And the value is placed on the commercial market and restaurants. And when you go eat snapper at a restaurant, you're eating American red snapper caught in the Gulf of Mexico, and there is a value on it. So if there's a value on it, there is somebody lobbying to get the best opportunity to make the money off of that.
And they don't want the small man to be able to get that item.
They don't want me with my 25-foot contender that goes 10 times a year, maybe, if I'm lucky with weather in Texas.
I wonder where, I haven't looked at it.
To pillage their profits.
Yeah, okay.
Pillage.
Yeah, okay.
We could go hard as fuck for 10 times and you wouldn't even.
No, you wouldn't
not
even.
Not a chance.
Them. You wouldn't even do them. They're snapper. I have snapper holes. And that's the thing about snapper, too. I can confidently say that I have snapper holes that nobody else in the Gulf of Mexico has. That I have found that are mine and mine alone that I've never seen another boat on. How many more of those are out there in the Gulf of Mexico right now that nobody's ever dropped a line on?
Thousands. As many as you could ever pitch a fork at.
Yeah.
Thousands.
Tons. Yeah, maybe more.
People call them white perch of the sea.
It's ridiculous, man. It really is.
But they just don't have the same limit.
No.
It's like, that's the white perch of the sea.
No.
But instead of having 25, you got two.
And then you've got in Texas, you're allowed... They have a season in Texas waters within 9 miles. You're allowed to retain 4 snapper within 9 miles. Great, but it's one of those deals where why is the state game warding stopping somebody in Texas waters, and when they have snapper in the boat, they go into an interrogation as to where they caught them. We're already in state waters. Do your fucking job. They got 4. Make sure they got over 15, 16 inches, whatever the limit is.
Yeah.
Go on about your fucking day.
And tell those game wardens, no.
Yeah.
When they ask you something, no.
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 You know what's funny? Like, one of my best trout days ever was about 9 miles offshore.
Mm-hmm. And 100%.
And they expect me to smash snapper where I'm catching the fuck out of trout and redfish. Yeah. Like,
well... Down south, if you get down Port O'Connor south to Brownsville, you're 10 miles, or don't say 10 miles. You're 8 miles off the beach, miles off the beach, and you're in 150, 200 foot of water.
That's not the case here.
No,
there you go with how big this state is.
Exactly.
Yeah, like that's what people always are like. You know, Texas is the size of blah 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 17 different states. You know, in length. But they have one regulation across the border.
Yeah.
It should go by county.
It's something. They need to do something. They need to upper coast, middle coast, lower coast.
Yeah, I'd say, middle coast,
definitely.
Something along those lines.
Like the duck hunting, like they divide into zones, right? So do the same thing with fishing.
No doubt.
Yeah, they should. Literally.
But it's not 100% Texas Parks and Wildlife's fault. They have to take what the federal government tells them they can do, and then they mandate that snapper season for their state for the year. So they have a certain number of allotment, certain number of tonnage that can be caught, and they have to decide how long their season can be with the amount of tonnage that they're allotted for their state.
Right.
But it's ridiculous.
What to me, and this is just, and we can go on from this after, like, you know, but like snapper fishing, any kind of offshore fishing, is that's the most minute majority out of everybody that does an outdoor activity, yeah. Hunting, fishing, anything. That's the hardest to do. I'm just saying because money wise, you have to have a boat.
It's all money. I mean,
it's all money, yeah. And that's fine. I'm glad I have friends that have boat. You know.
Yeah.
But
people really don't understand how much money goes into. I mean,
yes,
the Viking. People have no idea what that entails.
I don't even want to begin to get into that.
Yeah, like, we don't even have to talk about that today. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Honestly, and this, how many people would you say? I'm saying offshore fish.
It's a small community. I'll tell you that. We all know each other,
dude. I went to.
We're all tight.
Me and Ryan went to Venice one year, and everybody in Venice, Louisiana, hours and hours away, knew our boat. Like, I'm saying our boat, his boat, the Stingray boat. They're like, oh, dude, I've seen you over there. Like, there's only a couple hundred people that do this one activity.
Yeah. Right. It's a small community, and everybody wants to know each other.
Why are you regulating the biggest body of water on Earth to such a minuscule amount for a certain species whenever there's only wahoo fishing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just saying, you know, all there's only like 50, 60 people that are seriously wahoo fishing.
And a lot of those just became decent wahoo fishermen.
Yeah.
There was very small community of us in the
beginning. A lot of those guys learned via social media how to wahoo fish from somebody else.
No, and I get that, but I'm just saying, just say there's 50 or 60 probably wahoo fishermen in the state of Texas. How many fucking people are in Texas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Millions. Yeah. And there's 70? And most of those people that are doing these wahoo fishing, like wahoo, you have a couple of smaller boats, but I wouldn't say there's more than like 5,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who are very good at it are known across the whole board.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying there ain't more than 5,000 people snapper fishing.
Yeah.
And I might be, maybe I'm undershooting it, but there's not that many people because we don't have.
Yeah.
You don't have the access to that.
Right.
Yeah, and then you talk to most people, I've been offshore like 2-3 times, like in my life.
And in life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the people I talk to. Like, it's not something that you get to do every weekend, you know, but most normal people, you know.
Right. Right.
And it's just,
but it's
the key is it's a small-ass community.
Yeah.
And that's what makes me mad about it. And I don't even have a foot to stand in the argument. Because all my shit comes from, like, Ryan invites me all the time and shit like that, but I'm like, why the fuck's the limit this?
Yeah.
There's only fucking 1,000 people that have a boat that can come out this far.
That's right. And ridiculous. You spend that amount of money to get out there.
Yeah.
And you're done. It took longer to get there than it did to catch the limit.
I'm going to tell you, too, with the snapper limit being 2 in federal waters, what happens, and I do this every time I go, I'm going to kill the 2 biggest son of a bitches I can catch.
No doubt.
And I'm going to catch.
How many do we throw back when we go?
Shit. Hundreds.
No
hundreds?
Hundreds. We're throwing back consistently. I don't even.
You're calling at that point. You have to. You catch your first 2 and you're like, all right, let's cull these things.
And we shouldn't.
No, you shouldn't have to.
No.
But what people don't get to and what. So I work like on the ship channel with like barges and ships and shit like that. Those ships go out there, like out in the big water, and it might be like the ship might be like a flag of the Marshall Islands.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck.
Hell no.
About a regulation.
A regulation. There's going to be 40. An environmental fucking anything.
There's going to be 40 fucking Filipinos on the side of that ship ripping.
I was about to say, there might be 100 in a container on the son of a bitch.
Dude. Okay. Dude, they are smashing. And I'm like, but there's not a regulation on that.
Right.
Like there's not regulations on rigs, there's not regulations on ships. There's no regulation on this, but there's for the sportsman that's paying money to do it.
And we are the ones that are hurt. We're the ones that have to deal with the repercussions, and
we're the ones that get hassled the fuck out of.
Yeah, we get shit on.
Bro, go check the commercial guys. Why are you fucking with the small guy?
That's literally like if they wanted to hit some money, and this is just me, and our podcast ain't big enough for someone important to hear, but if I was gonna hit somebody, I would go out to the sea buoy where all those ships are parked. And all those dudes that have been sitting there for a week, 2 weeks, they all have rods.
Mowing
the fuck out of snapper, whatever they catch. Shark, they don't give a fuck. They're
just
eating
cutting
it.
The fin off.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck, dude. Those people are smashing them.
No doubt.
There ain't a single one with a license. There ain't a single one with a birth certificate. These some bitches.
Phenomenal.
Dude, these dudes are fucking the fish up because I've seen them.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I got thrown a tuna onto my dock one time. They're like, hey, bring me to shore. I'll give you some fish. I'm like, I don't need fish. And they threw a tuna.
I'm pretty sure there's a video out there viral of a guy throwing me a tuna off a rig.
Yeah. That was dope as fuck.
Honestly. That was solid.
He's like, look, I'll trade you some Dr. Pepper for a yellowfin tuna. You're like, how big's the tuna?
Son of a bitch, give it to me.
Yeah, 100-pound yellowfin tuna flying across the air. It's like, yeah, we'll take that for a six-pack of DP.
Appreciate that.
Thanks, bud. I don't want to say what his name was.
Nah, we'll leave that alone.
Yeah,
we'll leave that alone.
The whole snapper thing is crazy. You just got to – it is what it is. You go out there and you go find other fish to go crush on, and if you can get away from the snapper.
Yeah, you go out, you're like – like, the most ideal day for me, like, if you're going, like, meat fishing, you go catch your snapper, which takes a second.
Literally.
And then you go out and you smash some golden tile.
Yeah.
Which.
I love deep dropping. I do
like deep dropping. I used to love when, you know, back in the glory days when there were actually oil rigs, just rig hopping and cobia fishing, man. Catching ling. God, I miss those days. And if you'd have told me 15 years ago, 20 years ago, however long ago it was now.
And right now is one of the best times to do it.
Dude,
May and September.
I remember pulling up on rigs and seeing hundreds of 30, 40, 60,
hammers,
even bigger.
Big just pure donks.
And now I'm lucky to catch one a year. I used to limit out every freaking time.
Yeah. I'll have some good days, like I said, and if I can get out there in May, if I do it. In September. Mm-hmm. September, I'll have some of the finest.
Yeah.
But that is when the migration deal is going on for the COVID.
But they used to just, they used to be so thick out of Sabine.
There's been multiple fish that I've been grateful to be able to catch with the Warhola, like different species. But I remember the first time we went deep dropping when we're going out to catch swordfish. And he was just like, we're going to stop at this spot. We're going to catch a couple of tile fish. And I was like, what the fuck is that? And he's just like,
the golden tile, baby.
The golden tile. That's all he basically said. We caught them, you know, and bro.
Uglier than shit.
Tastier than a motherfucker, I'm telling you that.
Damn good.
Personally, I'm like, dude, take whatever you want.
Yeah, give me the towel.
Give me the towel.
The towel's the widest, beautiful.
They're good.
God, good, fantastic.
Good fish.
Fantastic. Like, I would, like, if Ryan called me at any time to say, like...
And the amount of them you can catch is unreal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you got a good spot.
Yeah.
Towels. And you get a mix of cool things in there, too, like long-tail sea bass and snowy grouper, yellow edge grouper.
Look, yeah. Ryan asked...
Yellow edge is a wonderful. And it's actually a pretty fish. Ugly. The skin looks kind of odd on them. They're cool.
Ryan, we text every day, basically. But he'll be like, are you off this day, this day? Like, I can't take off to go just bass fishing because that's something that I do a lot.
Right.
But if Ryan was like, hey, we're going to catch 50 tile fish like in two days, I'd be like,
I'll kill my grandma.
Yeah, bro, I will stockpile the fuck out of my freezer with tile fish.
No doubt.
Bro, God, even my pregnant ass wife, well, my wife, she enjoyed tile fish too.
No doubt. But if you don't enjoy tile fish, fuck you.
Hey, if you don't chew Big Red, then fuck you.
That's right.
Also, Colby, so let's, I think we're all a little heated right then, besides Mitchell. He's just over there just sitting there sipping, drinking, listening.
Mitchell's trying to find his big toast heel.
Enjoying.
He's just listening, but you also, so we didn't dive into Africa, which we don't have to, but So we start off the podcast. You do Africa. You've hunted it three times. You own a lodge. You fish. You duck hunt.
Rental stuff. You know, just living.
But you also love to do a little whitetail hunting.
Man, I love. If that so much ain't growling at me, I ain't shooting it. You know, I like a hammer.
It don't matter if it's a doe and heat or a buck.
Nah, I'm telling you.
If it growls.
I will say whitetail hunting fired. Yeah, I have a soft spot for it, and it is one of the finer things in life.
Yeah, dude. I'm a hammer.
Once you see a hammer,
it gets you.
That's the gig right there.
That buddy. Is literally so. Mm-hmm. I grew for me, like my turning point in my outdoor hunting and fishing, you know, outdoorsman experience was I grew up bass fishing. That was what I did. But at 11 years old, 10 or 11.
Yeah.
Whenever I went on my first whitetail hunt with my dad, and I shot my first buck, a good 8-point in West Texas, Ozona, Texas, automatically my little weenie got hard.
No doubt. My weenie stays hard, baby.
Bro, after that, it stayed hard for a long time.
Amen.
Baby had a little...
That's something to go to church about right there.
It is. You know what? Actually, I believe that was... whitetail 36-2.
Right, I was going to say, pretty sure that I saw that in the Bible.
Yeah, you did.
No doubt.
You did the hard copy.
And if it's not, then we're going to do something about that.
Hey, can someone write that in?
Yeah, get that going.
But, like, whitetail hunting, like you're saying, is like something special. It really is. Like, everybody here that shot a whitetail remembers their first whitetail.
And if you don't, fuck you.
But no one forgets. Like, honestly.
8, 9 years old when I shot my first, and 9 years old when I shot my first with the bow. So.
Oof, that's tough.
I still haven't been in the game heavy. With the bow.
No,
we're going to have to change that for Mitchell. Mitchell, you just come on out to Fredberg and
I've been to Fredericksburg.
You close your eyes, point, and take whatever you want. I don't care.
I tell you what, man, and I haven't got to talk about it on the podcast, my first, like, real turkey hunt experience when I went up to Missouri.
Phenomenal.
Dude, man, it was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Talk about that a little bit, Mitch. You just literally came back from your first actual turkey
so
hunt.
So I got a buddy up in Missouri, Snuff Cup.
Snuff Cup Spittoons, actually.
Good friend of mine, all of ours. And
Snuff Cup Spittoons.
Right here. Yeah, I got his product right here. The old cool. Snuff
look,
Cup.
Look him up. www.snuffcup.com.
Now, he's got it going on.
Let the boy eat.
He hollered. He's like, hey, man, why don't you come up spring turkey season? I was like, cool, let's do it. Never been turkey hunting. Didn't know the first thing about it.
Right.
And I get up there, first day, we just kind of hang out, drink beer, have a good time. And he's like, we're going to go in the morning. I was like, cool, let's go. So he's got a group of buddies. He's like, man, I've assembled, like, the best crew possible. He's
the
like,
Avengers.
He's like, these guys have been turkey hunting their whole life. They've been, they know, everything there is to know about turkey. I was like, cool, so let's do it. And we get out there, and I don't know what to expect. And they start doing all this, like, crazy calling and stuff, like crow calling and all this. And I didn't know what was going on. So, the whole time, I was just like, hey, man, what are you doing? You call it the crows. It causes, like, a reaction gobble. The turkeys are going to gobble this and that. But anyway, first day didn't go so well. We didn't see any turkeys. But second day, we set up and called in a big, I believe it's a Jake is what they call him. Just call him a gobbler.
I just hold Jakey, baby.
But anyway, they called one up, and, dude, just the communication back and forth.
So fine.
Got him fired up, dude. And then he was like, all right, we're going to sit here about 10 minutes. It's going to happen. Set out his decoys, and called up 9 of these motherfuckers.
Hammers or jacks?
Hammer. I shot a hammer.
Right.
And
Tommy two finger.
It was completely silent, and then you just hear him trotting through the woods, and then right to the decoy, and then they, flared up.
Start cutting.
Hit him with the old pubic pounder. Folded him.
Amen. And
did you know his shotgun?
Add that to the Bible as well. Yeah. Whitetails.
Yeah.
316.
But no,
316 pubic pounder.
But just the communication, between you and the bird. It's just cool, man. It's like duck hunting. You're calling the bird in. It's the same thing. You're just in the woods. It's really cool.
I was wondering if you used the pubic pounder for that. Yeah.
I used the pubic pounder.
Colby, so what we're talking about, the pubic pounder, his literal gun name has it across.
Stretched out on it.
Pubic pounder.
The stretcher.
So yeah. My thing was this, and Ryan was there. So
I might name my gun that.
My little brother.
The stretcher.
I like the stretcher.
Dude, my little brother got a barrel sticker a couple of years ago, and it says anus eater.
Really? Like, I'll be damned.
Dang, dude.
That was Matthew. Matthew got it.
I was like,
you know, that's standard now. That's just standard.
So I was like, man, I need a barrel sticker for my shotgun. But it took me 3 years, and we were hunting at Pipkin, and I said something, and Pubic Pounder came out. I was like, that's it. That's her. 3 years to name her, but she's
that's whole girth right there, baby.
So we have right now in like the Bayou Dragon arsenal, we have the Pubic Pounder, the Bludgeoner, and then
the anus
eater. But I'm thinking
Porter needs
the
Porter.
Stretcher. No, I got you. The stretcher.
I'm calling it the stretcher.
Yeah.
Because there's multiple ways you can take that, interpret it how you want. But the stretcher, dude.
The stretcher, baby.
I can put you on one, or I can go ahead and do it to you. You know what I'm saying?
Speaking of naming guns, I had a guy, one of my customers, come hunt me at Pipkin. And obviously was not the best wing shot, but he was really good at shooting him in the ass. And I started naming him the anal reamer. He shot more birds up the ass. To the point where he actually literally shot the ass out of a duck at like 15 yards.
Dude.
So, anal reamer.
I have a guy that I work with who he hunts in Arkansas. He bow hunts in Arkansas every year, like whitetail hunts. And like 3 or 4 years ago, he came back and I was like, did you get one? He's like, yeah, shot one right through the heart. And I was like, yeah. He's like, smashed the fuck out of it.
No doubt.
Beautiful little like. It was like a 12-point buck, you know, just Arkansas buck. And I was like, oh, yeah, like, show me. And the first photo he showed me, he had shot it square through the asshole.
Yes, sir.
And it went through his, I'm talking perfectly. It didn't penetrate the sphincter.
Pure grease, baby.
I'm talking right through the heart. Dropped him. He goes, that was the smoothest kill shot I've ever done in my life.
Money shot.
Yeah.
Deboned him right there.
Yeah. Oh, he deboned and dethroned the fucking king of Arkansas woods with this. Because he was like, he was walking away.
We
he
might
never
need to add that to Whitetail's 319.
Yeah.
In
yeah.
the Bible there.
Yeah. Dude, we're just going to keep adding on. Yeah. It should be like section 32 of 319, yeah, Whitetail. It's right after Psalms. You can never take too many blue chew. dude, speaking of whitetail hunting.
You can't go without blue chew. I don't think I can hunt without blue chew now.
You? Probably not.
Amen. Add that to my whitetail assumptions.
Dude, I don't think we can go talking about whitetail hunting without talking about the last time we went to Fredericksburg.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm saying we... Us four.
Right.
We're all in Fredericksburg together.
Yeah.
Dude, so.
It's like my second home, you know.
Yeah, Fredericksburg.
Yeah.
Dude, why? First off, does Fredericksburg, Texas, I believe it is now the second highest rated place for bachelorette parties because it's wine country of Texas. It's the miniature.
It's got to be number one of the state.
Oh, no, yeah. Number one in the state.
Question.
No, I'm talking about in the world, like in the nation.
I like in the we'll go world.
World.
Let's just go world.
You go Nashville, then you go Fredericksburg.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because people can't afford.
Fredericksburg.
Nashville.
No.
Nashville.
Napa Valley.
Napa Valley.
Right. Like, they can't afford Napa Valley, so Fredericksburg is, like, I've been to everywhere they say sell wine.
See,
in
I've
United
been
states.
Very blessed to have. Or, you know, my ranch there in Fredericksburg, and, you know, for 15, 18 years now.
Yeah. Dude, so. It's my favorite place in the state of Texas. If I had a choice, I would live there. I go there.
It's so fine.
Often.
It really is. And it's only it's getting better.
Often.
I'm glad that my family bought that ranch back when they did and get to experience for what it is now.
Dude.
What it's built to.
Oh, yeah.
It is...
Which bought that ranch from the owner, Heath, the owner of Grape Creek. And then he built.
Oh, really?
He built Grape Creek with that ranch money.
Oh, nice. Oh, wow. Yeah, that's beautiful. Grape Creek is one of the, you know.
So pretty much, I think I own Grape Creek.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah. That's how it works. You own Grape Creek?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe establish the foundation of Fredericksburg.
There you go.
As if we want to get really down to it.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, dude. Grape Creek is one of those, like, so I'm a, I'm a wine whore.
Oh, amen.
If you say that, amen. Amen.
Is that in Whitetails?
I believe Whitetails. Yeah, it is in Whitetails. I'm a wine whore.
Yeah.
I've been to, and dude, it's insane because every time I go, they build more.
Right.
But.
And it's like, how are we not overdone this yet?
Yeah.
That's what I've thought for at least 5 years.
How have we not surpassed? And you haven't.
It doesn't.
But yeah. I've been to easily 40 to 45 different wineries in Fredericksburg.
Right.
And I haven't even itched a scratch.
There's a new one every 3 months.
Shit, yes. There's a new restaurant every 3 months.
And right? I love that.
Yeah, me too. Add them all.
And it's not one of those places. It's not a place that, like, so people that listen to us that live in, like, big cities or out of state, and, like, it's not like a pop. It's not like somewhere that's like. It's not like you go to New York or anything like that.
Right, no.
Not, it's very spread out. It's over thousands of acres. Like, you're driving, you drive a couple minutes, you hit a winery. You drive a couple minutes, you hit a winery, you hit drive a couple minutes. Unless you're in downtown Fredericksburg.
Yeah, the majority of them aren't tight. They're not a tight.
No.
You know, not a tight area.
So, like, if you wanted to, and truly, if you wanted to never see another person and do a full-blown 5 or 6, like, different wineries.
You could.
You could do it without seeing a single person.
No doubt.
It is the most, if you're not from Texas and you love wine and you want to come to basically, there's Napa Valley, which I've been to. It's fantastic.
I spent 2 weeks in Napa 1 year.
Yeah, and it's all the surrounding areas. It's basically like Fredericksburg, how Fredericksburg is.
Yeah, it's
You have Fredericksburg, you have Kerrville, you have High, you have
Johnson City,
yeah. You have
Albert,
you have all these different places around the area, like, that you can drive an hour, hit a winery, and you might not see a single person. Right. You might go to a big one, you can see people, it just depends on
which
you.
Our place is right across from Augusta Vin. I don't know if you've been to Augusta Vin and Fred. So fine. And it's literally across the road. Like,
Son
of how can you go wrong?
All right. So, Augusta Vim. So, that was the place that, so, like, it was multiple times. I probably went 2 or 3 times to Fredericksburg, Texas, that me and my wife went, you know, and we, you know, enjoyed.
Always bring your wife.
Yes.
Always.
We went 2 or 3 times to Fredericksburg and enjoyed the trash out of it. But we didn't go, like, the first 2 or 3 times to Augusta Vin. I don't even think it was a place the first time we went, you know what I mean? And then it was like, there's a place getting built. The second time we went, called Augusta Vin. The third time we went, it was like, there's this place, like, you need to go, blah, blah, blah. And it was like the first, to me, my experience, was the first place with, like, a big vineyard that you could go have wine and you're looking out and you're not, like, everything that's there is theirs.
And people don't even realize the wedding venues. Like, I have my sister's getting married and I have a really good buddy getting married at the same venue at the ranch next door.
Yeah.
Next door to my ranch, which is going to be very convenient.
And the food, the restaurants.
Right.
There's some amazing restaurants in Fredericksburg. I mean,
if you haven't had Otto's, duck schnitzel with a duck egg on it.
Never been there.
I need you to do something.
Otto's, Martini's is great.
I like Auslander's.
Herb Garden.
I'll tell you, one of my favorite trips I've been to Fredericksburg, me and my wife brought her for, you know, just a little weekend. And I was looking on a little Airbnb, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found this Airbnb. It was called the Happy Camper. Mm. It was a little Airstream on this ranch. Yeah. Cheap, nice little Airstream. Man, we had a blast. Went there, all the wineries, ate good food. I forget the name of this Mexican restaurant.
Hilda's?
Was it Hilda's?
It wasn't Hilda's. Oh. It was
the Burrito Especial in the morning at Hilda's.
Cream your panties real but quick, just, buddy.
Just a fantastic experience for anyone. And I never really drank wine, you know, like every now and again.
That's most people that
I go to Fredericksburg, you start drinking wine.
I've brought multiple people. Like, so I became, for a while, I almost was a certified tour guide.
Alcoholic.
I was that already. So they just, what's funny is, like, people, I have a pre-saved note of like 15 or 20 wineries that you need to go to. Here's three or four restaurants.
There's
you need
probably
to go to.
Someone once a week that asks me.
Yeah.
At least once a week.
Yeah.
And somebody asked me that.
And
like,
dude,
where should I go?
Where should I go? What should I eat? What's the nightlife like? And it's like, what are you looking for? Are you with your old lady? Are you wanting to do like music? Are you wanting to go, you know?
You trying to get loose at the Velvet.
Trying yeah. to shave. You trying yeah. to go to the Elk store? You trying to have
a... Everyone, God, go to the Elk store. Get you in.
Fuck, I love that place.
Dude.
Espresso martini for the age.
Oh, in the smoked old fashioned. Either one.
Smoked old fashioned.
You better do both.
Yeah.
Don't cut yourself short.
And now, then after you're done, just buy a bottle of wine while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Get you the fucking mall back.
And crawl out in the street and go to Velvet.
Yeah. Yeah. Crawl out. Just literally crawl.
Yeah.
Like a fucking just Amen. Inchworm out there.
I can't tell you how many times I've lost a vehicle out front, you know?
Didn't you? Hold on. Okay, I got one. So Colby literally called the cops thinking his vehicle was stolen, and it was not. No, you've got to tell this story because it is great.
Yeah, there was a group of us, and we went there. We got there, and we all come out. You know, it's not just me, so don't put this on me. There's a whole group of us, and we're all on the same page here, like to the moon, buddy.
Yeah.
And we all come out, and we're all like, the vehicle. Right here, and we're all like, yep, sure was. call the cops on ourselves. Cops come, swarm us, you know. We're like, vehicle stolen, no doubt. And the cops like, hey, man, why don't you give us the keys to the, to the, you know, the truck? I'm like, here, good luck.
Good luck, bud.
This cowboy steps out in the road and just starts walking. And I see him. He doesn't make it, you know, 50 yards, you know, and he's, and all of a sudden the lights light up, the alarm system goes off, and we're like, oh, damn.
Oh, damn.
Oh, damn. This guy's like, who's driving? Not one of us, you know. We're like,
we're getting Uber, actually.
No, sir.
Yeah, we actually got an Uber on the way. We're just worried about our car tomorrow.
Yeah, and that Fredericksburg, there you go.
Dude,
can act like that 7 nights a week if you
dude,
want.
Dude, so it wasn't this past year. It was 2 years ago. We took Tanner on his first ever true whitetail hunt.
Mm-hmm.
It was me, Mitch, Ryan.
Matt.
Matt
go?
Yeah, Matt and Hartel.
But take in mind, before Porter starts this story, Tanner has never harvested a whitetail deer before.
All of us have. Like, I've been whitetail hunting for 20 years. Like, literally 20 fucking years.
Yeah.
And Tanner's just never had that opportunity. And, like, it's funny, like, hanging out our friend group, you know, we've been hunting.
Seeing people shoot their first deer is one of the most, and I got to see that multiple times this year.
Oh, I've seen
you know, one female, male, doesn't matter, but seeing somebody get to enjoy and shoot their first deer is very cool.
No, it's fantastic. I did. No. One of my buddies gave me the opportunity to guide for, like, the Texas Youth Hunting Program one
and
time.
It's something they'll never forget.
Dude.
Like, that etches in somebody's heart, life. Oh. Whitetail's 334. That's in the Bible as well.
It is. It is in the Bible. Yep. I hunted with this kid and his dad, and he harvested his first doe, and you would have thought they won the Powerball.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mega Millions. Like, it was the coolest thing
Greatest
ever.
Reaction.
But, like, so Tanner, like, that was our goal this whole weekend was – Tanner has to harvest a whitetail. Ryan had some whitetail. It wasn't a fantastic year.
God, it was
for
that,
deer.
It was that year. It was drought all summer, rained its ass off early fall, and the acorns were so bad. Remember, it was 2021? No, 2022. Yeah, it was 2022.
Well, Tanner never harvested one. Yeah, because I'm going to get into the story where we met up with you here in just a second.
Oh, okay.
But, like, our whole trip, like, because we went from there to Lubbock. We went and shot a bunch of Canada geese and Sandhill crane.
Oh, beautiful place.
Oh, great. But, like, that was our – we had a two-week trip, me, Matt, and Tanner. Mitch came with us to Fredericksburg. But so it was, like, get Tanner's whitetail, then get Tanner's first Sandhill crane. And, like, we're just doing a bunch of firsts,
for
you know?
Tanner. I love this. This is great.
Yeah, fantastic. And Ryan was like, hey, you're going to go to this place, blah, blah, blah. Like, I love whitetail hunting, but also I would rather see someone else do their first,
no doubt,
or just do it in general that hasn't got to do it.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting with Tanner, in the blind on his first ever true whitetail hunt. And he just, like, every single deer that walked out, he goes, "Is this it? Is this it?" And I'm like, "Not yet. Not
just
yet.
Saddle down.
Not
saddle
yet. Down. Not, we're just going for we're going for a good cull."
And that is the best, when multiple deer can come out and you can, like, lead up to something.
Oh, dude.
You know?
It's like three or four deer eating underneath the feeder. And I'm like, "Not yet. Not yet. Not yet." And then this old sumbitch comes out.
Mm.
Like a 7 point, should have been like a 12.
Just a tank.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, just a tank.
Old greaser, somebody's growling.
Yeah, dude. This son of a bitch is older than all of us. Uh-huh. That's it in the room. He walks out, and I go, "That's it." And he automatically just, he flips the switch. He's like, get serious real quick. And I'm like,
"Lay it down, baby."
I'm sitting there just like, "All right." And I'm like, I'm talking to him as gentle as I am right now. I'm like, "Hi, Tanner. As soon as you get a clear shot,
shave his head, son."
I was like, I didn't even finish. And that thing just goes, and it was behind a tree, but as soon as that front shoulder cleared,
it was over, sonny.
Dude, fuck! Smashed.
Love that. Good work, Tanner.
Hey,
wherever
dude.
You are, if you're passed out right now under your couch,
good chance.
Love that.
He smashed, and I was like, he goes, like, and he'll deny whatever, but he goes, "I got it." And I was like, "Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, you got
it. Fucking,
I'm hard.
You just smashed it, dude." And he, like, because his breathing was so, like, just heavy,
yeah,
methodic, just
uncontrollable, buddy.
Dude, yeah.
Yeah, there's no control in it.
But, like, perfect shot, dropped, didn't take a step further. And I was like, "All right." And he was, and it's just like, and I'm not calling Tanner a kid, but, like, he was like, "All right." I was like, "No." Like,
but that's the perfect reaction.
Yeah. I'm like, "No, we're doing this. We wait."
Act a fool, buddy.
No, he was acting a fool in that fucking blind, but I was like, "Let's wait a couple seconds." Like, you know, we did about 10 minutes, and he is just like, it hasn't got up. It hasn't moved. It hasn't breathed since he fucking launched that fucking just.
Laid the wood, son.
Dude, laid the wood. And wood I was layer. Like, we finally got up, got over there. I was like, photo, you know, I'm hyped. I'm fucking amped because I'm like, fuck yeah. This is a great first deer, great cull buck to take off the ranch, all this stuff, you know, send a photo to Ryan, everybody else. And to make this whole story short, Tanner ended up leaving with four deer.
That's
he
perfect. That's
he
perfect.
Shot four deer on his first ever whitetail hunt. Yeah. He shot four deer. And
welcome to Fredburg.
Welcome to Fredburg.
Jeez.
And but that during that time while we were there, you were there.
Yeah.
Oh, and I remember one morning we were it was me and Ryan and somebody in a truck. I want to say it was Tanner.
We were going to Hilda's.
Yeah, we're going to Hilda's.
Hey, man.
And then
I had that to Whitetail Revelation.
36-2.
Hilda's.
And like Ryan was telling me, like, when we got there, like, "Hey, Colby's here, you know." And I'm like, "Oh, cool. Maybe we can hang out with him." He's like, "Yeah, no, he's going to come to breakfast that day." And you're like, "I ain't making a breakfast, dog. I ain't making a breakfast." It was like, okay. Uh-huh. He started early.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fast forward 12 hours.
I can have a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Just know that. I can have a good time.
I think anybody that's watching this podcast can tell that you've already, you know, you can enjoy
it. I've seen a thing or two.
I've
had my run. Let's just put it that way.
And I think we might have a podcast later on in life called Had My Run.
Yeah.
Or Denbo's
Have a
Run.
Like Have a Run. Yeah.
Denbo's Run.
And I did. I had a run.
But so, right, like, because me and we were talking. You're like, "Yeah, no, I'll be there, blah, blah, blah." You never showed. Right. And you're just like, "Dude, you called us and you said, I'm fucked up.
You ever seen Left Field?"
Yeah.
I invented it.
So, make this whole story, because, like, we went from going out to eat, go back hunt. I think that day, Mike ended up shooting a doe. Tanner shot another doe. We ended up going out into downtown Fredericksburg, and we're at Crossroads.
Oh, my.
And I remember I was...
Don't do it to him.
I was in the truck with Ryan, and you're like, "Yeah, I'll see you out there." I was like, "Okay."
And you will.
And, well, after you didn't show up to breakfast, like, there's no way he's coming. Dude, you walk in, and you're just like, bro. Like, you see me, like, I don't know if you remember this, but I remember seeing, I was one of the first people to see you. I was like, what's up? And you're like, you still weren't there. And you're like,
aliens.
Yeah, no, you were straight up extraterrestrial.
Amen.
And you're like, hey. And just kind of walked by me, and you found Ryan.
Only way to whitetail hunt.
Only white, yeah. And you're like, Ryan, holy shit. Ryan's like, what?
I've seen the moon.
Oh,
the
dude.
At all today.
Yeah, it's not even dark yet.
Yeah.
And you've seen the moon.
Yeah, man.
You're like, dude, holy shit. Dude, so I had this raging hangover this morning. Raging hangover. I was, I just didn't feel good. And I grabbed a bottle of Tylenol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grabbed a bottle of Tylenol, and I popped four of them. Like any normal person would.
Right.
Pop four Tylenol.
Could have been eight. Well,
okay. It might have been eight. Mm-hmm. You, after this, and I'm about to let you elaborate on the story, you started seeing demons.
I'm after telling
eating,
you.
After you started eating these Tylenol, Advil, whatever you thought they were.
Add the stock market to it, buddy, because you're here and you're there and you're fighting back up.
Yeah.
It's a pure fight, let's be fair.
I see you. Like, so I kind of follow you after you walk into Crossroads and you're like, hey. And you walk straight to Ryan and you're like, my God. I just remember you. This is about all I remember that night is you go, I've been fighting demons.
I was. I'm telling you, that night was a serious ordeal. And these, it was like an organic Advil Tylenol deal and didn't realize what was coming. And I thought I was just doing the good deed of fighting a normal
hangover with
Whitetail weekend.
Yeah, Whitetail weekend. Yeah, 36-2.
And, sure enough, you know, when you lay your head down in your plate at dinner with the family, something's not okay. Yeah. You know, you start backtracking quick. And I did. I mean, so I went back and checked this deal, and it said, sleepy, sleepy, not, not.
On the pill bottle.
On the bottle.
On the pill bottle.
On the bottle, really small, but it hit them with it. And I said, oh, boy, we're in for a ride tonight. And I'm here. I'm here for it. I'm going to ride it. And
what's great about this story and people that are listening. So this is like 9 a.m. when we call him. He took these Advil like 9 a.m.
He rode it all fucking day, apparently.
It was a roller coaster, buddy.
He rode this roller coaster of
three times. I went
sleepy,
in
sleepy,
and out of life.
Sleepy, sleepy, night, night pills at 9, 10 a.m. Like, we're eating Mexican tacos for breakfast, and we're like, where's Colby at? And you're like, I can't make it.
And I had my crew at the ranch, you know, so I had like my own group. And
yeah, I just.
Well, we made it out that night.
No, you made it out. Yeah. But it was so funny because I was like, when I saw you, I was like, wow, you actually came. And you're like listening to you talk to Ryan, because you just like walked up to the most recognizable person that was there. So it was Ryan. I mean, understandable. And you're like, Ryan. If there was a chair, you would have been doing this right here. You would have been rubbing it. And you're like, dude, I've been fighting demons. And Ryan is like, what? And you're like, I took four sleepy, sleepy night-night pills.
Yeah.
And we're like, God, what is that?
And then came out.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, what is that?
Yeah, what is that? And you're like, well, that's prescription sleeping drugs. Didn't know.
Yeah.
I thought I was taking Advil.
I did.
And because they look exactly like Advil or whatever. Dude.
And the whole bottle was pain reliever, and then literally, I mean, fine line.
So somebody took an Advil bottle and put those pills in it and wrote in very small print what they were?
Sleepy, sleepy, night, night, buddy. Dude. Let me tell you, you want to fight for another world? I'll bring them to your house. You go ahead and see what you're made of.
You'll find out
what you're made of if you eat those.
Take four of those and then try to stay up for 12 hours.
Yeah, that's the key. Yeah. See what you can do on them.
Yeah.
Don't just take them and roll over.
Yeah, take them
and go
in the morning.
Do a day. Go do a day. You know?
That was the thing. Like, you like hunted that at, like, you were supposed to hunt, like, and I had to
fight for my people.
Yeah, you had to fight for your people. You had to hunt. Yeah. You had to do all this shit.
Yeah.
On sleepy, sleepy night-night pills.
That's it.
And you still made it out that night. for a debauchery of a time.
Tell me about it.
I don't want to. Nah. But like there wasn't.
We'll leave some things out.
You didn't miss a beat. Like we went from Crossroads to the Elk Club to the Velvet Club to the, you know, we just did the round.
We did the full blown round,
and you stayed with it the whole time.
Not didn't stay with it. I mean,
run it, buddy. So we're all sitting there and we hear, and we're just following him like a bunch of coyotes. And he was leading the realm, but he was in his own spirit realm.
That's right. It was my own game. There's no question about it.
And it was.
I'm glad that you were there, though, for that.
I was. It was just so funny whenever you walked in, you saw me and you recognized me, but.
No doubt.
Like, I'm.
It was great to be going through that and have people that I loved around.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes. I was like, and at the time I was like, I would consider us friends, but like we're not like tight acquaintances. So like you were looking for someone. You had someone in mind. You found Ryan in the bar and you're like, oh God, I can finally spill the beans.
Somebody needs to hear this.
I have been fighting sleep for 14 hours.
Hard sleep
for 14 hours. But you told the story. You're like, dude, I just fell asleep at the dinner table with my family, my face in the mashed potatoes.
And that's bad when your dad literally is like, what? You know, none of you. Hold up. What's wrong? What the hell is this?
Yeah. This is disgusting. Yeah. Get this out of my face. Yeah. And it's you.
Yeah. And
get him out of here.
And you come back to, you know, you're like, whoa. Come back to, and you're like, something.
Uh-oh.
Something has a hold to me here.
There's a demon inside.
Yeah, there's something wrong here. That's when the whole family came together. And we figured it out. The whole fam came together. And
I'm surprised they didn't start throwing fucking holy water on you.
Right.
And just like, get out of here.
See, my family is wonderful. So they're like, let him loose. Set him free out there.
Amongst the people.
Yeah. And let them know.
Let them know what's happening.
Let them know what we have.
Look, we have something special here.
That's right.
We're going to show the world. Yeah. That we don't give a shit.
Yeah. And look, we have this. We have this in our back pocket.
They're pointing at and a 5'6".
That's it.
Guy. Yeah. That's been asleep in mashed potatoes and brown gravy for the last 28 minutes. And you wake up and go straight to Crossroads.
And the first thing they think, that's our guy.
Look, your mom goes, that's my son.
Yes. That's our boy.
That's our boy. Dude, and that's what I respect about your family. They've put up with your shenanigans for so many years.
They have seen it.
And like we said earlier,
we could tell stories to the end of time if they really wanted to hear.
And we're going to do a podcast that I think Chase and Dimbo would be a great.
Yeah.
Like we just.
What did I say earlier? What was it? Have a run.
Yeah. Have a run.
Like have a run, buddy.
We're going to call a podcast Have a Run.
Dimbo's Run.
Dimbo's Run. And we're just going to let you talk for an hour and a half and just tell whatever story you want.
Oh,
and we're going to sit here and be like this. Like,
what a time.
Like,
oh man, the Montana speeding story is a good one.
Oh, wow.
Or was that Wyoming? It was Wyoming. It was Montana.
Well, that day there was two. I got pulled over in Wyoming and in Montana, and it did take them 10 miles to catch me in one of the situations.
You see that?
And I was doing 106, I think 164 or something.
Look.
And I thought I had him.
But then you figured out this road goes on forever. God, and the party
Wyoming,
never
dude,
ends.
I'm telling you, the roads in Wyoming are just gliders.
Forever.
And you cook one in a Charger going the opposite direction, and you send it. He's also sending it.
He's sending it in a U-turn.
Yeah.
Right after
And he
your
did.
Ass.
And when I saw him do the U-turn, I was, come on. That's the first thing in my mind. Here we go.
Can you get me before I reach my destination?
Yeah. And my problem was I had 8 more hours to drive. So that was my dilemma.
Yeah, your dilemma was I'm going to have to fill up before this story's over.
And then guns drawn and, you know. Yeah.
Dude, that sounds like a future podcast right there.
Have a run. Have a run.
Have a run.
Do you, buddy. Do you.
So the question is, how good did you sleep when you finally went down and croaked?
Ah. Oh, I think at that point, it was delusion. Like, there was no, you know, I think I was morally guided by spirits, not by humans, but
whitetail 36-2.
Whitetail weekends.
Yeah, 36-2. Yeah. You have Dimbo croaked. That's just what the whole scripture wrote. Like at the end of it, Dimbo croaked.
Yeah.
And yeah, dude, that whole weekend was fun. We got to watch Tanner harvest a bunch of whitetail. Hartel got to harvest some whitetail. And then we went out and smashed on some sand hills and lessers, some graders. And dude, that whole weekend was just fun. Great time.
Many more to come.
Oh, dude, yeah. Many more to come.
Never stop. That's all I can tell people. Don't stop.
I think after hearing this, they're going to know that that would be your words. Just, you know what?
Rip it. Keep ripping.
Keep ripping, buddy.
Dude, we're going to do another podcast.
At the lodge, man. Let's do it at the lodge.
Let's do it at the lodge.
Come out to the lodge and we'll have a good afternoon. We'll do a little fishing with them.
Yeah, and, dude. We'll do a little video, a little fishing, like the whole situation.
Yeah, we'll do that. That'll be a great time. That's what we'll do.
That'll be fun. We'll do that. We'll plan
maybe a dinner.
Whole deal. Whole deal.
Let them see it. Be about it.
Let the people see.
Enjoy it.
Let the boy watch.
Let the boy watch.
Yeah. Let them have a story. Yeah.
But
should we do call-ins at one point?
Dude, that'd be
somebody call in.
Dude, that would be dope.
I'm telling you.
Dude, call in with your questions.
Yeah, call in.
You could do a TikTok live with Mitchell's TikTok and ask questions.
I would
have to get a burner phone. Call in. Here's the number, and we'll take calls. Yeah.
That'd be great.
Dude, I think that'd be dope. Because
you know how many, like back in my real have a run back in the day, what I did love was having people come to me, like just, you know, regular people that just live and tell you a story about you that they truly will never forget and love. Like you can tell, like they truly had the best time that night or day, whatever it was. And it's it didn't mean anything to you.
Yeah.
It was just another kind of day.
Yeah.
It was a Wednesday.
Yeah. Or Tuesday, Monday, whatever it was, you know. But to them, it was like a statue, great, like one of the best times they've ever had.
Yeah.
And hearing those, so that would be, I've always thought about having something to where people could like call or write a story and they tell there.
I had that happen to me this duck season. I went on a hunt and the guy's guy was like, oh my God, dude, how you been? I'm like, thinking to myself, do I know you?
Yeah. Who?
You know, he goes, dude, you took me on this hunt. We shot mallards and pintail and speckled bellies. It was a freaking ripper. God, it was amazing. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, you don't remember that? And I was like, buddy, don't take this the wrong way, but I've had a bunch of rippers in my life.
Yeah,
like,
that's it.
Yeah, I'm sure, maybe.
They actually call me Ripper Magoo.
If you show me a picture, we'll probably remember it. But
dude, yes. But we're going to have to end this podcast.
Appreciate you guys.
I appreciate it. I say it was a short live. This is an hour and a half that we've already done, but
we haven't touched the surface.
We haven't touched the surface, but you have a concert to get to.
Yeah, I got to go party with Roger Krager right now.
Yeah,
he's waiting on me. So.
Yeah, you're going to party with Roger Krager. Let's not keep him waiting. Yep. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Per usual, dude, this was a fun one.
I enjoyed it.
It was fast paced.
Subscribe. Y'all subscribe on YouTube.
Yeah. Bingo.
Hey, listen.
Thank
y'all. We never say that either. Subscribe on YouTube.
Please subscribe on YouTube.
Follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Southeast Texas Bayou Dragons, Bayou Dragons. Just look for the people with the most followers.
Bingo.
That's what we're going to have. And then check out Sabine Ranch Lodge.
Sabine Lake Lodge. Got ranches too, but.
SabineLakeLodge.org.
.org.
It's a
charitable organization on
Sundays.
That's
right, baby.
Yeah.
Dude, I do donate. I do a lot of donations.
Dude, check them out. You know, if anybody from this podcast gets on, like, you know, finds their way to scheduling a fishing or hunting trip with them.
A cast and blast.
Say, hey, I watched the podcast, you know. That is.
That's good knowledge right there.
Hey, there might be something thrown in. Maybe
and you
some
might,
free
if
Bayou
you do
Dragon
that,
gear,
then you might get to see me more often and get to hear Have a Run.
All right, guys.
And well, did
thank
you.
Thank you. Did you?